Hello, happy new year, welcome back. Thank you so much for your lovely feedback for the last show, the Jenna Russell show, where she talked very honestly about her experience with IVF. So thanks for getting in touch, and I'm glad it struck a chord with some of you who've been through something similar. Another notice for the trapdoor notice board is that two, not one, but two previous guests of this podcast are starring in a play together in London at the Vault Festival near Waterloo. It is Anna Crilly and Margaret Caborn Smith, and they appear in a play called The Half, which I've seen. I saw last summer because it went up to the Edinburgh Festival. It's by Danielle Ward, who is a brilliantly funny, clever, funny writer. Clever, funny in the sense she's both clever and funny. You know, it's not so clever that it's not funny and whatever, but still, it's brilliant. And it's about a female double act who, you know, meet after many years of not seeing each other. And yeah, it's great. I really recommend it. And it's on from the 6th to the 10th of February at 6:10 in the evening. And yeah, you can get the tickets from vault.com. That's Vault, V-A-U-L-T, not as in a vault of electricity that could kill you. This show, as far as I know, can't kill you. Slightly neurotic of me to associate electricity with death, but, you know, I'm quite morbid, as many of you may know from listening to this podcast. Now, my guest this week is Sam Pamphilon, who is the co-creator and star of the comedy gaming show Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit. Really funny, I have to say. That would not have been something I'd have chosen to watch, but my geeky husband got me into it, and it's really brilliant. And he's a very clever, funny guy, one half of the double act McNeil and Pamphilon, the Pamphilon half. He's done lots of Edinburgh shows, and he also does a lot of the childcare with his kids. So I thought it would be, it's always interesting to get a boy on and to talk to them, see if they think the same things, which invariably they do. Anyway, I recorded this a few months ago, and genuinely, I cannot for the life of me remember how we got onto this, but we opened with talk about weeing. So your guess is as good as mine.
Well, I'm a toilet roll dabber. Always have been.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Take me through that.
Well, for those of us who are uncircumcised.
Oh, yes. Right.
So, you know, after you go for a wee,
yeah,
there's sometimes a little bit of wee that wants to come out when you've finished.
Yes.
As you get older,
yes,
and older, as your, yeah, whatever it is, your prostate, whatever, I mean, something's wrong.
Yeah,
at
whatever.
Some point. I'm like the guy in the Green Mile. So yeah, it takes me ages to go.
Yeah.
And then I go, and then when I finish,
you think it's all done.
Especially if I'm at urinal, which is not my... I'm a sit-down weeer.
Yeah, are you?
Always have been.
Right.
I can't understand why you'd want to stand risk, all the risks that are associated with that.
What? Name all the risks.
Splashback.
That's the only risk, though, right?
No, wee on other men. Not weeing on other men.
How would you wee on another
man? No, other men. Being next to other men while
they're
urinating.
Oh, just being close to another man.
Yeah, they might... I've had splashback from someone who had a thunderous piss. He caught a certain angle on the urinal. I've definitely felt a tinkle on my hand.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you can't then react. You can't go, accidentally piss on my
hand. You can't go, which is what I do.
And also, the way that you undo your belt, your belt can sort of, if you're holding yourself and your belt is, you can piss on your own belt.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, when you stood up, now that I'm nearly 40, So I finish, and if you're a urinal, you're going to finish quickly. You can't stand there. There's the old rule, isn't it? You know, like you have a few shakes to get any drips off. But any more than that, and technically, legally speaking, according to the school ground, the playground rules, you are masturbating then.
Right.
Okay. But I would require maybe 60 or 70 shakes and 10 minutes.
Yes, right.
So you put it back in, and literally just as you zip up, your penis just kind of goes...
Phew. Oh, sorry, there was that last bit.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with circumcision, surely?
No, but if you're... Oh, God, this is in depth.
It's so good. I was,
if you have a foreskin, what I would do to urinate is pull my foreskin back and urinate. That way the wee is not hitting my foreskin on the way out.
Right.
But if you're a young'un or it's cold, that might be harder.
Yes.
So therefore you wee, as my children do, because their foreskins don't move yet, or I've looked it up, I'm not supposed to touch them yet. Oh, God, I want it. I'm not supposed to. There's no way they can roll back. They're so long. They're like the length of the penis again.
Yes, right.
It's a turkey nose.
Yes,
that's what
yeah.
And so the wee hits the foreskin. And so what you have to do then is you dab as it dribbles out. Because it's all caught up in there.
So we're a Jewish household, so we don't have any of these issues.
Oh, I see. You've got no foreskins in there.
Yeah, exactly.
So much easier.
Yeah, it is so much easier.
But you are going to get the dribble. There will be the dribble.
No, nothing. We don't have anything bad. Nothing in any way.
We don't have anything
Nothing bad in our house.
Ever since we removed
chosen
those
people.
Foreskins. Yeah. Now, this is very much a Gentile problem.
Yes, it is. So, take me back. I want to know what your life was like immediately before having children.
God. Just gotten married.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I lived in a one-bed flat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just open plan, kitchens in the front room. For some reason, you really liked that.
Yeah.
It was the show, it was the model flat, so we basically paid a little bit extra and bought all the furniture in there.
Right.
So you had a mixture of like furniture that was not built to be sat on, like a bed that was like, it's not a real bed, it just looks like a bed, but we slept in it anyway. No real storage in the place, you know, but we loved it. We're on the canal next to Shoreditch Park.
Oh, lovely.
Morning strolls, you know, it was amazing. You know, we'd open up all the windows. My wife would bake, one time she baked croissants from scratch.
I
ate four, and four is too many. So that was it, really. And my career was kind of going up and down, and she was pursuing a changing career again and working really hard to progress. And then we decided to have a kid. And so we got pregnant when we lived there, and then very quickly became apparent that we couldn't stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And had to make the heart-wrenching decision to leave North London and move to South East London.
So you moved to grown-up land?
Well, we're part of the what I call the North London Exodus of about 2014.
Right.
Where a lot of people, a sort of a contingent of North London that we knew, all just went, fuck this, we can't stay here.
Yeah.
If we ever want to own a house or anything, we have to move, and we have to move now. So we start looking for houses. We walk into this one house in Crystal Palace in Upper Norwood, and there's like 17 couples that are all in at the same time.
Yeah.
And we walk in, and the place stinks of dog. There's a bird in the front room. The owners are looking after a bird. Yeah. This is there. Oh, God, this place is hell.
Yeah.
Stinks of dogs. The garden is overgrown. Walk around for 10 minutes. And my wife says, you know, we're upstairs in one of the bedrooms. And she says, well, what do you think? I said, it smells like a dog and there's a bird here.
Yeah.
Because that's my man brain thinking.
Yes, of course.
I don't like it.
Get me out.
No, there's a bird there.
Yeah.
And she goes, I think it's got amazing potential. I think we should go for it. It's the first house we've seen.
Wow.
She says, let's go offer asking. And I was like, okay. And I trusted judgment on these things. So we went up to the estate agent, who is just king of the castle at that time.
Yeah.
All estate agents. Oh, I mean, he might as well have had a crown. He just stood there. We'd have been there maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I walked up to him and I said, I think, me trying to be like I was trying to slip him a fiver and a handshake. What would you say if I said we were prepared to go to asking price? He'd say, well, I'd say you better up your game. I've already had four offers of asking. Like that. And I was like, right.
Whoa.
In the end, we fought for it and we paid 35% over the asking price.
Whoa. I mean, as someone who is selling, trying to sell my house right now.
Same.
Times are very different.
Really different. Yeah.
Really different. Yeah.
When we moved into the house, we had to rip up the floorboards, everything really quickly. Chloe was back to give birth in 2 months.
Yeah, wow.
So, you know, when my son Emerson was born, you know, the house was barely finished. We didn't have a car. We bought a car the day he was born. Chloe
wow.
went. It was Chloe's,
wow.
Again, she was very, very sort of pragmatist and very go-getty. So she just she was in labour and she went, we need a bloody car.
She was in labour.
In labour at home. Well, she started labour. So,
right.
But we were timing it. Like, we were pretty good with the first baby. You're 40 seconds,
yeah.
3 to 4. I don't know what the sum is now to work out how pregnant you are. We were doing hypnobirthing and everything. So we were we were well into it and well on it.
Yeah.
She said, we need a car. I said, well, I can't get one. She said, we're not going to get one afterwards. We'll have a bloody baby. So go get one today. So I found like this car in Wimbledon. And so I sort of took the bus to Wimbledon. I walked in. I was like...
So she was in labour at home?
At home, in labour. And I had £900 in cash.
What?
And so I walked into this dodgy dealership in Wimbledon. And I was like, yeah, what have you... And they showed me this sort of Ford Fusion, which is like a car that Ford don't make anymore. Which is basically like a if you turned a Ford Fiesta into an estate car.
Yeah.
Like, it's just stupid. It was gold. It was scratched to fuck.
Yeah.
20,000 miles on the clock, 12 years old. Like, it had been owned by... someone who'd never used it. So I said, I had no way of telling if it was good. I was like, can you drive me around the block?
Yeah.
So the guy drives me around the block and it's making a funny noise. I'm like, is it supposed to make that noise? He says, yeah. I'm like, okay. And I go, I'll buy it. So we filled out all the paperwork and I was like, shit, I can't drive. So I was like, well, can I... So I went to the guy, I said, if I give you some money, can you drive me home in the car? He gets his cousin, and I had to give his cousin a tenner. And his cousin...
Because you have to get home.
I've got to get home.
Wife's in labour.
With a car, but I can't drive a car. I mean, I know what the wheel does at this stage. I can drive now, but at the time, I couldn't have explained it to you.
Wow.
So he drives me home, and I get out, I'm really worried, you know, we've got mobile phones, thankfully. And she's like, I'm fine, I'm just on the sofa, and... get out, and then the guy just gets out. I was like, I feel bad. Like, what are you going to do? He's like, well, I don't know. And he just walked off. Like, I don't think he had a phone or anything. He was just 15 miles away from where he was supposed to be. But yeah, and then we went and had a baby.
What I want to ask is how that changed your everyday life and your relationship, and, you know, once you'd had your baby, was that...
Yeah, it changed everything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, babies... I've said this to people before, again, I'm just repeating myself, but, like, the thing about babies is they're a bit like MacBooks. Because you think it's this really complicated... It's a computer.
Yeah.
And it's super complicated, and it's, you know... And you open it up, and it goes, hello, what's your name? You go, Sam. And it goes, oh, what colour do you want the screen to be? And you go, oh, blue. And it goes, all right, here we are. Do you want to have the internet on? You go, yeah, internet.
Yeah.
All right, what's your router thing? You think, I can do this.
Yeah,
and that's what babies are like. They kind of introduce you slowly. Simplistic. Yeah. And then they get buggy and virusy. And then you're like, oh, no, I can't.
Now my
emails don't work. And
yes.
You know, I can't enter this. And this page doesn't... But I'm not going to fix it, you know.
But then equally, to extend that analogy, there can be little things, little bugs. There are little quirks in my computer that I know I could fix, but I can't really be bothered.
That's the personality.
So you kind of go, oh, well, you know,
that's
it's
the bit
fine.
Of it I've broken. And,
yeah. And the reason I can't, you know, I can weigh that up and I can live with that.
Yeah.
I can live with that, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there's a lot of that going
on. I've definitely broken that little part of it. But at some point, it'll have to go to the genius bar.
Yeah. So then you had a second baby.
Yeah.
And how did that change things?
Right. So we with the first one, we felt like we were acing it. I think a lot of parents have this.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an easy first baby.
Mm-hmm.
The birth was really good.
Mm-hmm.
For me. I didn't really
do
anything.
Great.
I got my hands a bit wet from holding her in that birthing pool. And
but you could wash those.
Just wash them off in the sink.
Fine.
Have a cup of tea.
It's a tip for all the lads.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, she demanded with the pool, because you're holding her legs and arms and holding her up in a sort of position, you're very much head end. So you get quite a kind of PG view of the birth.
Yes.
So you can sort of see where the baby's going to come out, but not exactly where the baby's going to come out.
Yeah.
You see the head and you see it sort of like flop into the water like a sort of like a shucked oyster kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's quite, and it's really lovely, and then you have to have daddy time. So that was all good. And then from 3 months, he didn't really cry, but not in a way that you're worried.
No,
like, you know, from 3 months, he was sleeping in his own cot from 7 to 7. He would have to be woken. Just unreal. Like, you'd have to wake him to breastfeed him. Well, I didn't, you know. But Yeah, he was just a dream, an absolute dream.
And did you have to keep that quiet? Because I think with the things that went well for me, I feel I have to keep those under my hat because people get a bit cross with you.
Yes, yes.
So did you feel
there's always something that they do that's annoying.
Yes,
that you can bring up, and that's what you bring up with friends.
Yes.
As a parent, talking to other parents, and because I tend to do a lot of childcare, certainly around daytimes and things like that, because my wife has a proper job and works hard. I spend a lot of my time with mums.
Right.
So I'm always with the other mums, and mums I don't know at playgroups and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think the wording is very important. So if your child eats well, drinks milk well, finds a nipple every time, sleeps well, you have to kind of sandwich that with things they do badly.
Yes.
And also, and then be super grateful for those good things.
Yes.
Can't take any responsibility for it. We're so lucky. I mean, it's hard in places, but with sleeping, we've been so lucky. We've got friends who have really suffered and they're so brave. Yeah. And inside you're thinking, oh, screw you, my kid sleeps brilliant. because of his dad. Because I can sleep.
Yes.
But then Rex came along, so we said, well, let's have another one because we want to get babies out the way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and instead of kind of having 20, like a protracted 10-year period that's just full of kids.
Yeah.
Let's just, well, actually, they would still be full of kids, but let's have them together so they grew up together. Also, they'd be close together so they could sort of fight and play.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be too much of a difference. They might not hate, you know, because the 3-year age gap, like between me and my brother, it's quite a lot when you get to 10. You don't want to play with your 7-year-old brother.
Yeah.
But you might want to play with your 8-year-old brother or your 9-year-old brother.
Yeah.
So we had him really quickly, and that changed absolutely everything. I spoke to I spoke to a director I was working with, a guy called Tom Vidicum, and lots of people have sort of said, two, no, it's fine, you've had one, you know what you're doing now, it's great, because you know what you're doing. And I kind of always trust the slightly more negative opinion. And I said, you got two, what's it like? He went, two? Might as well be 200, mate.
That's ridiculous. But, it's just a horrible thing to say to someone.
But just the way he looked at me and said it. And I was like, oh, shit. Like that. Because he seems like he's got his head screwed on. And it is, because Rex came out with his massive head. Like his massive, gorgeous meatball head. And he didn't sleep well particularly. And he wasn't that bad a kid. But it's just the effect, because what you do with the other ones, you go, okay, we're going to take away half of your love now.
Yeah.
And there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
And actually, for the first bit, we're going to take away more than half, because this one is so much newer than you.
So how old, and Emerson was...
16 months,
okay, and that's quite hard.
Yeah.
Because you can't explain. I think what makes that hard, and mine are 13 months apart, is
so
that,
as we discussed, you win.
I mean, I wasn't going to say that.
It's not a competition.
Sure, but it is. But you can't explain. You know, I think the really hard age apparently is sort of between 2 and 5, because they understand, but they don't have the emotional maturity to kind of like.
To sort of react appropriately.
To kind of understand that, of course, my parents still love me, but I just need, you know, this is more pressing right now. So my, whatever, you know, to do this jigsaw, I'm going to have to just wait a little bit.
Yes.
but at that age, they're still a baby, and largely are still really going to cry when they want something. They're not going to say that they want something. So you've just got to, I mean, what I found the hardest was like having to leave, be putting them to bed, for instance, and I couldn't physically have, you know, I couldn't be, have
two
the
people.
Other one with, so a lot of the time I'd have to leave one crying while I put one to bed. So putting one to bed while, and invariably that's the baby, putting the baby to bed while she's crying because she doesn't want to go to bed, and then you've got a toddler downstairs crying because mummy's not in the room. It was a
I've that period where, between Rex probably being born and being about 1.5, it's, my wife called it the eye of the storm. So it'll pass.
Mm.
Actually, the eye of the storm is calm. Anyway, we're in it, and it's awful.
Yeah.
It's like war or something. I think I've blanked a lot of it out. I literally have little sound memories. When you were saying that, I remember shouting in a restaurant, "I've run out of arms."
Yeah.
I've run out of arms. And literally asking someone to.
Yeah.
Because I've dropped something. And I'm like, I don't have any more arms.
Going back to what you were saying, because this is what I'm really interested in at the moment, because I'm having difficulty with it, but other mothers. So I felt in that situation that I didn't know anyone else. I knew one other woman who had exactly the same age difference as we had, or maybe she was 14 months or something, but we were sort of in it together and we got on quite well. We didn't end up seeing each other quite that much because, you know, we worked at different times and all that kind of thing. But that was cool. But with some other mothers, I found like that I was this whirlwind of chaos that would arrive with these two babies. And I'm going to do that. Hang on, let me hold you like this. I mean, this is what I want to ask you. Like, how much of that is just what everyone feels? Because everyone goes, oh, well, everyone feels that. And I'm like, I look at these other women, I just don't believe they feel that. Like, their kids are like something respectable, two and a half, 3 years apart. You know,
I don't think everyone does have that. I think they will do to a degree, but I think other people's kids are better behaved.
Yeah, thank you.
I do. I spent years thinking like it's an image that people give off. But my kids, you know, it's The Incredibles 2.
Yes.
It's like Jack, you know, and he multiplies.
Yeah.
It's just like that. They're just walking off in different directions into traffic and stuff. And other kids are just, I don't know. I think maybe it's, I don't know whether it's because of the way I've parented, which is, I don't feel like any of my parenting has necessarily been much of a choice rather than just reacting.
Yeah.
I feel like people are calmer and their kids are better.
Yes, they just don't do the thing. You know, we went to a party as a kids party, a three-year-old birthday party on Saturday, which was a ballet party. And I was thinking, not sure how Zach's going to go for that.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, well, she's invited boys as well, so it must be a sort of, you know, dance thing, and, you know, everyone, you know, I'm not like, he would get into it. I don't think he has any association with ballet or anything.
No.
But as it was like a kind of bored 21-year-old girl dressed as a ballerina who didn't really want to be there probably and just wanted to sort of with the little girl's point toes and all that kind of thing. Zach not into it, kind of understandably fine, not his thing. He could equally could have been into it,
yeah,
but he just wasn't. Sadie, a bit too young to get involved. But so I'm now with these two kids who are trying to get, there are a few balloons which they're then told to put back.
Can't do that.
Because there's the kids, you mean the kid's birthday
is,
you know what I mean, it's her, but she's got a big helium balloon on her place at the tea table, which, by the way, is just full of tea and no one's allowed to eat it. I'm being mean because it's not against them, and of course you would have a table with food ready.
But you look
ready
at that and you think, my kids are not going, I cannot be here with my kids.
I walk in there and I think, like, we would be so much better off at home.
Yeah.
And I'm here because I want my kids to socialise and have friends, and I don't want to be the weirdo mum who, you know what I mean, but I know this is worrying. So, but Sadie's actually at one point going, let's go like this, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't want Zach to miss out on cake, which is the whole reason I got him there in the first place. So I scrabble around in my bag and take out some kids' magazines I'd bought them earlier, like your Peppa Pig kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know they have these really shit toys, you know, on, you know, as part of the magazine, plastic pieces of shit that last for like 2 minutes. So I'm so desperately pulling that out, thinking, well, at least this will mean that they won't be noisy and running around and messing with the balloons and the decorations.
Well, that's
stuff
30
like that.
Seconds, right? That's 30 seconds.
So I take that out, do that. Then, of course, all the other kids come swarming over.
You stole them the thunder.
Yeah. And all the other mothers look at me like, you fucking cunt.
Yeah.
And I don't know what... I mean, tell me what to do then, because I have two kids who are bored. I don't want to leave to be rude. I know that this will keep them amused, but doesn't say much about the entertainment, the fact that all the other kids see some shit Peppa Pig toys and want to come over here.
Exactly.
FYI, but there you go.
But why were they being so good?
Yes, but this is the thing. Why were all of them partaking? Do you know what? I wonder whether, and maybe you're the same, I have quite a high threshold for chaos. And I was talking to, maybe it was Daisy about this. I definitely was talking to Daisy about it years ago when we both had little toddlers, where it's like my life is, I don't know what I'm doing from one day to the next. I'm quite comfortable with chaos. Like, you can't, in a way, if you're a creative person, you kind of are.
It's not that I'm comfortable with it, but it's just where I reside. Do you know what I mean? It's like I mean, I don't choose to live here. If I had more money, I'd move somewhere nicer. But this is my situation. Yeah. It's like I can't keep a diary. I can't maintain anything.
Yes, exactly.
Like contacting you last night, like, is tomorrow still on? You said yes. I say, great, I'll see you at 10.
Yeah.
At that time, I knew I had to drop my kids off at 9. I would get out at 9:15. There's no way I'm going to make it for 10.
No,
but in my head, I'm thinking, instead of kind of going, oh, should we make, can we maybe move it to a, yeah. I'm just thinking, something's got to give.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll make
maybe
it, you know,
it will.
I will just live within that chaos tomorrow morning.
Yes,
I'll make
yes,
it work.
Yes, 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 yes.
Or not work.
God, this is so...
But it's awful. But it's awful. It's awful for, you know, for my wife, because she's a list maker.
Yeah.
She jots, you know, make first bullet point one, make list. Teams of lists. Everything's pen and paper, organized, and she has to work. So I am looking after the, you know, at the moment I'm, due to my work not being overabundant.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, I'm doing the kids in the morning and getting them and trying to be the husband of the house or the man of the house and keep everything tidy. Yeah. But I can't maintain the standards that are...
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would think I'd done pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
By some... you know, maybe by the stereotypical male standard. But, you know, things are slipping in different areas. Yeah. Because
but
I can't keep on
so
top of
this is so interesting as well, because I think that often women think that that's, like, the reserve of women. But actually, it really is just whoever is at home and in charge of those things.
Yes.
Like, that they're... Go, you know, and my husband is like, there are things that he'll, you know, he'll open the fridge and go, oh, we've run out of tomato ketchup, whatever. And I think, oh, but I've done this that. And it's, you know, and that, but I feel then at that
you've done
point,
all this
I
stuff
feel like, oh no.
Hoovering, like, and then suddenly it's like, oh, someone's drawn on the table.
Yeah.
Like, I know, and I must like, try to scrub it off.
But if I was that person, I would come home and go, oh, that's annoying, because I've got these sausages and I really want, oh, you know.
Yeah.
And he's allowed to say that. It's his hat. I mean, it's not... That's fine.
But you take it as a personal thing, because now you're in charge of the house to
exactly,
a degree.
Exactly, exactly.
So, oh, the washing's not done. Yeah. Or, have you seen this?
Yeah. And you're already feeling, like you say, it's a your parenting is a reaction to what's happening. So you're already feeling... I already feel like I'm... You know, very rare are the days where I'm like, yeah, I've predicted that. I brought this snack with me because I know that when he comes out, that'll make him happier when he gets. Jimmy and I could do this and do this, and I've nailed it. I mean, those days are very rare. Most of the time, for me,
parenting is just on day to day thing. The difference between being a parent and a job is that with a job, jobs tend to have little spikes of achievement.
Yes.
So and reward.
Shut up. I know. It's.
So
they're
you
just
know,
showing their appreciation.
Someone will come to the desk and go, "Hey, Clive, love that report." Yeah. I don't know what job is that. Everyone's writing these
and
reports.
And actually, I've worked in an office, and they don't.
No one does that.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm imagining, having never really worked in one. You know, good work there, and you think, "Oh yeah, I achieved something," or "Ascend," or whatever that is. But for me, parenting on a day-to-day basis, and I do talk it down. I love it. I love my kids. I love being a dad. Yeah. But for me, it's just, you know, how much did I fail today? And if it's not a huge amount. Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Totally.
Wow, they're both in bed by 8 o'clock and Emerson only screamed and rolled around the floor for about an hour. That's good. I didn't have to leave the room and punch a wall.
No.
It's a win.
Yes, yeah. But also, you have done a lot of live comedy. So when you do something well, people laugh. A room of people laugh.
I've had no good feedback for about 5 years.
Yeah, there you go. So that's the difference. So actually, you don't get someone saying, "Hey, great report," but in your job, you did actually.
Well, that's what I mean with jobs. So, yeah, there is everything is kind of structured that you get some kind of reward, and with parenting, there isn't a reward.
No, yeah.
Your kids very seldom turn around to you and go, "Good disciplining, Dad. Really learnt something."
But they do give you a different reward.
They do. They
you know,
do.
Obviously, they are my children. Not that long ago. Both said, I sneezed and they both said, "Bless you."
That's good.
And I was like, that is worth a lot of tantrums.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, I'm pleased. I can.
I
not
think
that
it's because I think it's
I'm very religious. So
they saw Satan leaving your body with that sneeze, and that's why they said,
yeah,
"Bless
exactly,
you," because you brought them up as such zealots.
Yeah. Exactly. You're very strict.
Well, I mean, Rexy, my youngest one, is going through the stage. He's just turned three, and you've never seen a more beautiful little thing in your life. And whereas Emerson's quite, I love them equally. Emerson's quite neurotic and, "Ooh, where's my Batman? and all that, and, "What are you trying to worry?" Or, "It's gotten wet, it's wet out." Like, if he gets wet, you know, he'll just have to take all his clothes off. "Daddy, it's wet. He's like, "Yeah, it's okay, it's going to dry you." And he's like, "Okay, you're naked now, dude." You're like, But Rex at the moment is going through this just adorable. I mean, he can have a tantrum.
Yeah.
But he's unbelievably brave. Like, you know, he just gets kicked in the head and he's like, "Ah." But you give him a cuddle, he goes, "Daddy cuddle?" And he's got this big stupid head, his head's still really big, like it's bobbling around on his neck, and his eyes are doing all this. And you go, "Kiss?" and he still does kisses.
Yes.
So you lean your head forward, and he clamps, puts his open, and it's really like anyone watching who didn't have kids would be like, "What are you doing with
Sadie
your child?"
Does this? Yeah.
And he puts his hands on my ears, and he puts his mouth over my lips with his mouth open, and he holds it there for maybe 20 seconds,
oh.
and he's still got the drool. He still drools.
Yes,
a bit.
Yes, of course.
And it's just gorgeous.
Yes.
Like it is, it just makes your heart sing.
And that's the reward, isn't it?
That's the reward.
Which is better than anyone saying, "Hey, Alan, I love that report."
That was a great report, Alan.
Yeah.
You're like, "Right, Alan, I'm going to give you a 20-second kiss. Come here." Wow, you're really drooling.
So, how did your relationships change in terms of, did you see your parents and the way they'd parented any different once you had...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, no, I do. I don't know. I mean, I kind of. It's hard. Like, thinking about the kids, everything, the timeline all goes out the window, and it just becomes this sort of big bowl of sort of head spaghetti. Like, I'm not sure what happened where.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember thinking. I think you become quite pious, almost, if that's the right word, early on with kids. You're like, yeah. I'm going to do this, I'm going to be this way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to hit my kids, I'm not going to do what my parents did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be supportive of dreams and stuff like
that. Yeah, yeah.
And they get to a certain age, you're like, okay, I get why my parents got angry and all this stuff. So, yeah, you kind of, you undulate between, or oscillate rather, between kind of like, you know, I'm going to be different to you guys.
Yeah.
Not that they were bad or anything.
No.
I love them very dearly. But, but you know, I can see the mistakes and I'm going to be different. To then realising, like, oh, I am still...
Yeah.
I am those mistakes.
Yeah.
And I am, if I'm not careful, going to pass it on. I'm a carbon copy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I'll just do the same if I'm not careful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gives you the desire to be, you know, better, but at the same time makes you realise that very potentially you're not.
Yeah, it's funny. I think there are things that you... do with your you hear yourself do with your kids, not even necessarily my parents. You know, I was saying to Zach the other day, you know, just I could hear my weary voice going, because it just is.
Oh yeah, my you know, voice is so much like my dad's.
Yeah, right.
And I'm saying things that I would never say.
Yeah.
That are just things that he said.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's fucking eerie.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're disciplining, and you're disciplining in a way that you don't think you didn't want to discipline.
No.
I really lost my temper last night.
Yes, right, yeah.
Emerson was just being awful. And, yeah, and while it was happening, I was like, this is not how I want to do this.
No.
But I've got nothing. Right now, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I've got nothing in my... There's nothing in my quiver. That I've got nothing other than...
Yeah.
Stop it!
Yeah.
You know, and stop it. Never ever fucking
ever
worked. Ever.
No. But also, you're having quite a stressful time at the moment. So how do you separate that? Or, you know, does that, I imagine that makes it worse if you feel like, oh, I've lost my temper, or, you know.
Yeah, because it's when you're losing your temper with your kids, it's very seldom, I mean, I get it. Like, I get it, because kids can be, no one pushes buttons like them.
Yeah.
But it's very seldom the only reason why you're losing your temper is because you're tired. It's because you're grumpy, it's because you're hungover, it's because you've had an argument with someone else. So, yeah, I mean, at the moment, my situation is very odd. I imagine, you know, I live in the house with my kids and my wife, but my wife and I are separated.
Yeah.
But very amicable.
Yeah.
We're very amicable, and we love each other, and we're very good friends. But it's still an unusual situation. But because she works crazy hours, I'm not just going to go and live... And,
no.
You know, and this is by choice. I'm not just going to live somewhere else and be like, well, good luck with the kids, and then pay £1,000 extra that I don't have to live in a flat that I don't want.
Yeah.
So we're trying to sell the house, and but it's all up in the air, and it's incredible. I mean, I think we've managed to shield the kids as much as possible. They kind of know something's happening, and there might be two houses at some point, and they're pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
But it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a even on the good days, it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, so you sort of scratch the surface of it with your mind. You think, oh, at the least there's paperwork there.
Yeah.
There's mental and actual paperwork.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of stuff.
And the thing that compounds that thought of paperwork, or you have to be there at that time to do the thing that, you know, is the emotional, I imagine that's...
Yeah, I mean, because they don't understand, and you don't understand as well, because you're going through it, and, you know, I don't know what's going on. You know, you're kind of just talking about two people's feelings. But, you know, the decision is always to do what's best for them. And it's just hard to come to the decision that this is it.
Yeah, yeah.
That this is the thing that's best for them.
Yeah.
You know.
And you did a very, lots of people calling it modern thing.
Yeah.
You shared on Facebook this announcement that you and your wife were splitting up.
Yes.
And how did you come to that decision?
To put it onto Facebook?
Yeah, it was actually it was a very confident, bold way of doing things that I felt like you were taking control and not letting it become something where people might go, oh, have you heard?
That was the thought. I mean, when we fell pregnant with Emerson, the first thing we did is we always like to be dicks on Facebook and stuff. So we had a picture of Chloe holding up a little knitted T-shirt looking happy and me in the background looking scared out of my mind.
Yeah.
We thought that was funny.
Yeah.
So with this one, we had a picture of Chloe looking ecstatic and me looking like, in the same picture, oh my God, what's happened?
Yeah.
And we both wrote our separate posts, you know, that we're splitting up, but we love each other and that we're, you know, we're going to be bonded and everything. You know, and that's a good manifesto, I think.
Yeah.
But still has to be something to be lived up to. Rather, you can't just say it and it happens. And so there are good days and bad days.
Of course, it. Yeah.
Especially living in the same house.
Yeah, I bet.
If someone wants to buy my house, that'd be really great. You know.
Crystal Palace is a lovely area.
Especially this time of decade.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it comes without the bird or with the bird?
There are lots of, as you may know, there are lots of wild parakeets in Crystal Palace. And so I'm happy to ensnare a few of those for your delectation. It's like, you know, like, I mean, if you've ever done therapy, like, and I speak to everyone I know, everyone I know who's ever done therapy, and I thought when I went to see my therapist, I can't afford to see anymore because my TV show's not on TV anymore. It was so cool to have a TV show and a therapist. That was a really good 6 months. The first question is, you walk in and she says, what's up? And you go, I don't know who I am. And I thought, but she hasn't heard that one before. Everyone says the same fucking thing. Yeah, everyone, I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
I don't know what I think.
Has that been compounded or lessened by having children?
Well, in a way, lessened, because you kind of have this very tangible thing that you are for.
There's these two kids.
Like, I am their dad. I have to make sure they're okay as much as I can. That's as good a driving thing as anything. But at the same time, nothing shines a light on you like being a parent and being married and having all those things happen within a 4 or 5 year period. You know, you can go, which I did, going from thinking that I was, you know, I'm a happy-go-lucky, good fun at a party, I think people like to see me kind of guy, I think I'm funny, I think I'm fairly handsome, to being like this light shine on you. You go, oh my God, I'm selfish, I'm needy, I'm gluttonous, I'm morose, I'm angry, you know, and you kind of think, oh God, you know, you kind of think, I'm a piece of shit. It turns out I'm a piece of shit.
But it turns out, it actually, none of those are true.
Not necessarily.
You were just looking at a certain light, and all those things are true, and all those things are present, but not at any different time.
Exactly.
And that actually, maybe it is having children, or maybe it's just growing older, that you kind of realise, oh, I do have... Yeah, I'm noticing anger in myself, which my mum used to get really angry, so I think as a consequence, I'm slightly uncomfortable around it.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm like, let's just... which is probably why I have a high tolerance for chaos. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I've noticed it recently. And going back to these mothers, I sometimes, you know... And I'm imagining what they're thinking about me. I know most of it is in my head. You know, I'm looking at them.
People are thinking about you a lot less than you think they're thinking about you.
Of course, because they're doing their own thing.
Which is comforting, but also so sad.
Yes, I know. I know. And I go to these... You know, there are things I think, especially for me, as a woman, there's this idea, especially... I've been to two houses of kids that go to the same nursery as Zach's, and they have these sort of... neutral tone, you know, stone colour, everything sort of natural tone. Yeah. I couldn't tell you, if you show me two pictures of both houses, I couldn't tell you which was which.
They're sort of like day spas.
They're kind of, yes, they are. Yeah. They're like a cow shed, like a beautiful, soothing. You know, and I go in, I'm like, how did you know, where did you learn to do that with the cushions and have the thingo, the drip?
And they've got a son who wears a shirt under a jumper. Yes. And you think, how the fuck did you make him wear that?
And they have these sort of perfect wooden toys.
Yeah, yeah.
That are sort of like...
like the chilled, like Mary Poppins they would have had. Like, you know, like a donkey on a string.
They're not scarfed, they're tied, they've all got their place. You know, this is the drawer, but to pull this drawer out.
Yeah.
And this has got all the animals in it, the beautiful painted animals.
Whereas there are so many Happy Meal toys in a big wicker basket in the corner
Peppa
of our
Pig
room.
Peppa Pig magazine toys.
Yeah. Just broken bits of toys.
And I've just chucked them in and finally can probably do something
with that. This is the drawer where the broken stuff goes.
Exactly. But I let that really kind of get into my head. You know, and these people work in insurance. Do you mean it's not like I want their lives? I don't want to sit and have a dinner party with
people's
them.
Parenting. Do you remember when
I don't have dinner parties? You had dinner parties. You know what I mean?
No. It's just you know.
Yeah.
You know when people were buying houses, and you're like, well, how the fuck is everyone buying a house?
Yes.
And everyone's like, well, we've been saving. All those people were fucking lying.
They're all lying. Yeah.
Because people helped them out.
Yes, totally.
You know, like we borrowed a lot of money from Chloe's dad and mum. Yeah. And we paid it back when the house went up in value.
Yeah.
But we couldn't have done it unless we'd borrowed that money.
Do you know what?
We paid rent on that money. We had to borrow it.
My mum died almost exactly 6 years ago. And I inherited some money from her when she died. And so I bought a flat and sort of remortgaged that and bought my... my dad gave me a similar thing. Yeah. Helped me buy my first flat. And then I paid him back when I remortgaged.
Yes.
And then anyway, so you know all those kind of things. But then suddenly I realised I had sort of honesty Tourette's when my mum died. But I suddenly had this realisation that no, people were doing this without anyone having to die.
Yeah, they've saved 60 grand. Yeah. You know, in the 5 years from since university, they've saved up 60
really?
Grand. Yeah, of course they have. Yeah, yeah.
No, you haven't.
And with their kids, so there will be stresses that there will be behind doors. There will be nannies. There will be help.
There
will be parents that are roped in a lot more than yours are.
Yeah.
Because they're either dead or they live far away and stuff like that. So some people who have like kind of a more perfect Stephen thing, there's help.
Yes,
people
do get help. Of course. And you know, and they're in bad. I mean, I have help. I'm you know, not ashamed to say, but do you know what? That's the point. I am ashamed in some people because I do know it's hard. So I don't say, no, that's not true. I will say it. I use the word childcare.
Yeah.
Because I'm too embarrassed. I never use the word
nanny.
Are you
talking nanny. About someone that you... Oh, so like someone who lives in a house, you take them to that house?
No. So what I have is... So I...
Well, what do you have?
Yeah, I'll tell you. So actually, I don't like using this word because she's more than that, but she was my cleaner from before I even met David.
Okay.
So I've known her for a long time.
You have a housekeeper?
Do you know what? I kind of do. I guess that is it. And she comes...
to the drive when you pull in.
Between her and her daughter, they do 2 days a week, like one full day and then 2 half days.
Yeah.
And my kids adore them. Like, they come to the door, they run up to the hug, and they also know... And, yeah, Nella's, like, better at... She can do the stuff that I can't do, so she'll say, you need to get more of that. What were you thinking putting this in this drawer?
Yeah.
You know... Don't be ridiculous. You can't. You
need these from Happy
Meals. You need
to
throw that away.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of thing. Like, she helps me basically be a human being.
Yes.
And so it's great. But I don't want to. I feel uncomfortable. I don't want to say cleaner or nanny because that feels like I'm. You know. But then equally, I. You know.
But at least you have the decency to turn up flustered.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I did. Yeah.
We since the age of 6 months, because my wife went back to work, and obviously I was working from time to time. From the age of 6 months, both my boys have been with a woman called Alessandra, who is a wonderful Brazilian lady. And so she's had my boys since 6 months, and Emerson's gone to school now, and Rex is starting a under nursery, before nursery. He's in rainbows. They call it rainbows.
Yeah.
Daddy, I go rainbows. Yeah, you go rainbows. Ah, rainbows. And so she loves those boys. We drop around her house and... Yeah, and we love her, and then they still have Portuguese accents.
Really?
My eldest, he says he's playing with guns. I never wanted them to play with guns. They have guns. put your hands in your air. It sounds like that. Put your hands in your air. And he had a friend called Jonas. But both Jonas and Emerson would not call him Jonas. It was Jonas.
Yeah.
Jonas. So like, hey, good. Jonas, you're going to go play with Emerson? My name's not Jonas, it's Jonas. He's like, oh my God. They just, you know, they came out and they know little bits of Portuguese.
That's really nice.
And
but
it's
that's
lovely.
So nice, isn't
it's
it?
It's great.
We have also, and she may be listening. So for the first year of Sadie's life, we did have a nanny. Mm-hmm. She was called Briar. She still is called Briar.
Oh,
and
good. That's good.
She did keep her name
after she left.
And she went back to New Zealand. And it was quite funny when I started this podcast because she was very supportive from afar. And there was a very early spike. It was like something like the second or third most listened to country was New Zealand.
Oh,
I was like,
bless.
That is that's basically Briar and her family. So hello, the Jones family.
That's lovely.
But was funny was that Zach, yeah, had a Kiwi accent. So milk is still milk.
Milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now Sadie's picked that up. Yeah. So yeah. But that's quite nice as well. That's all. That's
Daddy,
life,
Daddy, Daddy, my nappy's Dorothy. It's Dorothy. It's Dorothy, Daddy. It's Dorothy. It's Dorothy. Yes, I love it. And the sad thing is when they lose that.
Yeah.
Like I hate correcting them when they get stuff wrong.
No.
Because. Like Emerson's holding on to a couple of them now. He's like, "Daddy, Daddy, I don't remember it." I'm like, "You know it's phonetic." Oh, yeah. Remember. He goes, remember. It's like, "Oh, stop being cute. I don't want to correct you."
No, I know. My daughter goes, "When you know, you go through the animal noises. What noise does?" Very good at them all.
Yeah.
And then you go, "What noise does an owl make?" And she goes, "Ow, ow." And yeah, and I'm never going to correct her on that.
No,
it
love
makes
it.
Me laugh so much. But yeah, it will go, I hope, at some point. It's already starting to.
We have so many difficulties with kids and, you know, and Emerson Rex, if you're listening to this 20 years in the future, I'm sorry. but, you know, like whether it's toilet refusing to go for a shit.
Yes.
And having to just basically drug them every night in order to shit their nappy. Yeah, and you think, or, you know, he can't cut with a knife yet, or he won't piss, or, you know, all these things. And you kind of go, well, if he's like working a job at the age of 20 and he still shits his bed at night, then that's not going to happen.
No,
he's going to be able to use a knife and fork. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of remember that some of these things are just going to work there.
Yeah.
But then again, I think about other parents who'd be sitting down and going, right, we're going to work on da 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 da. What are you doing? And I'm sure they would like, yes, mummy, I see the benefits of having a shit on the potty and not in bed.
Yeah.
Like that. So I just constantly, you just know some people are just far better at it than you.
They are. I don't think I necessarily like those people or want them in my life.
No, that's it. I don't like
those
people.
That's the thing. But I do, and I feel, and I wish I didn't care about it, and I wish I wasn't. But I do. I realised at the weekend, I do care about it. And I do. It does make me feel...
It's a judgement on your entire personality, though. Because how you are as a person quite often is reflected. So, you know, if you are slightly chaotic, then your parenting will be slightly chaotic. Because it's going to be.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and so they're going to, you know... And both Chloe and I are both kind of... Although she's far more organised than I am. We're both quite... people.
Yeah.
And silly, but, you know, with kind of silly and wacky comes kind of tense and, you know, there's neuroticism there. And so and you see, you go, oh, why aren't our kids good? You go, well, because that's who you are, guys.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, and those two kids over there that are really good and they're watching the ballet that they don't like.
Yeah.
Well, their parents are boring, you know, and they're going to grow up and they'll be successful. And it's fine.
I sometimes wonder, this might make you feel better the next time you're in that situation, as I'm like, you know, because there'll be other things also that those children, the other children, will laugh at sometimes, you know, huge. And my kids are just like deadpan face.
Oh, your kids get the jokes. Your kids get the good jokes.
I think they get good jokes. Yes. So that's why I'm like, of course you're going to laugh at that because you live this sterile, neutral toned life, you know, so that you're going to find that funny.
Yeah.
My kids, not so much. You need to really work at it.
Yeah.
This is why I tell myself.
They're not dicks. Like, it's the kids that you see that have already got that kind of insurance salesman kind of smiles, like that kind of lost kind of grin, that kind of like just dead eyed thing.
Yeah.
You know, when my kids laugh, like, and actually the eldest is now working on his fake laugh. So he does this thing, and I don't know why he's doing it. He'll be like, "Daddy, Daddy, where's my Batman? And then I go, "I don't know." And he'll go, ha, 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 ha. And I swear to God, he'll slap his leg. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, "Emerson, what's going on?" It's like he's been obsessed. And he goes, Oh, I thought I'd lost my Batman, but I was sat on it. Silly Emerson. And he does this huge fake laugh. I'm like, what are you, like, what part of your, what evolutionary thing is your brain doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
That he's like a shit dinner party. He's and of course, I walked into the wrong room. Silly Emerson. It really was ridiculous. What is that? Brilliant. Who taught them that?
My son talks about himself in the third person.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a normal thing? Because I Google it occasionally, and then I calm myself down because I'm like, no, he'd need a lot of other things, But he's always like, I was speaking to my husband on the way here, and he said that Zach was crying because he'd fallen over just before he went to David to take him to nursery. He was crying, and giving me a hug, didn't want to leave me because he'd just fallen, usually he's fine.
Yeah.
So then David is like taking him to the car, and Zach's really crying, and then Zach goes, I wonder if Zach would feel better if he listened to Thomas the Tank Engine. No, in fact, like, not even like completely fine. And then David's like, right, okay, so he puts Thomas the Tank Engine on in the car. Zach completely fine for the 2 minutes and then starts crying again. You're like, hang on, what?
Yeah, what is going
on? This is like, this is kind of prime suspect kind of.
Zach is how old?
He is almost 3.
Right, okay, so Rexy, my 3-year-old, has got this thing now where he's when he's in a funny mood, he's like, and you're like, okay, and I shut you up, I'm going to stick a film on.
Yeah.
What film do you want to watch? So we've got all the things on Amazon that we've bought.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And you look at it, you're like, is this like 500 quid worth of Disney films or something like that?
Yes, I just know.
Like,
yeah.
And I get the receipts every now and then, like, I know what kind of time Chloe's having with the kids, like, beep, new Lego movie, I'm like, oh, God, they're really bad.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, Lego Batman. You're like, okay, but that could be so many fucking things on Amazon. So you're kind of like, okay, do you want Batman Bizarro? No.
Oh, God.
You go, you flick through all of them, and he's like, no. And you go, walk up to the screen point, so he goes, that one. You go, all right, that one. At this point, like, I'm not even going to tell him he's being rude or anything. I'm just going to get it on.
Exactly, yeah.
And so you put it on, and he sits down, and you go, from the beginning? This is, he goes, from the beginning. Because he has to say it like that. He has to say that. Even if it starts a second after, he's like, from the beginning. Like, he wants the da-da-da-da. So you put it on, and then he'll watch for 2 minutes. You go out to the kitchen, stick the camera on, and he's like, not this one.
God.
You come back in, da-da-da-da, you do that. You do that angry walk, where you get all your anger out of the wall, like, Rexy, which one? And so you finally put it on, and finally find what he wants. And then you'll be in the kitchen, get it, and he'll just walk up to you like this, with his gorgeous, massive meatball head and his big eyes. You go, I'm better now. I'm better now. Yeah. Like, but I love that he has this little cut-off point.
He knows.
I've been a dick, but I'm all right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry.
Not sorry, but...
Better.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
You don't need to be scared of me anymore.
You made it. Yeah. You made it. Yeah. As for the other one, no idea.
You
can go at any time.
Of course, yeah.
I'm gravy.
Yeah.
If one of them's being bad, the other one's going to be good. Because the other one is just luxuriating.
Yes, oh, exactly.
Like, oh, Emerson's being naughty, Daddy. You're like, all right.
But I remember, I used to love that.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know.
And the crying.
And as an
the
adult.
Crying of your sibling doesn't upset you.
No.
There's something weird. Have you ever had them in the car together?
Mm.
One's asleep and one is screaming. And the one who's asleep is asleep, but with a smile on its face. His face. Like, he just knows that by... The fact that the other one is going absolutely bananas,
he's winning. He's winning, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I felt that till not that long ago, my brother.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I was like,
you're in trouble,
exactly,
dude.
Exactly, unlucky. What advice would you give someone about to have a kid?
I wouldn't. I honestly wouldn't.
Right.
Because unless you're explicitly asking for advice, it's unwanted, I feel. Everyone has got so much advice about kids and none of it is relevant because none of it is your kids. The only advice you can kind of give, it's not advice, it's just... When someone turns around to you and says, my kid headbutts walls and he started masturbating at the age of 2, is that normal? And to have someone else go, yeah, no, mine did that, it's fine. Like with the NCT group, our kid, Chloe, had this awful thing. Like she had to run out to the bins when the kids were really small and the door slammed behind her. And she was just her in the house. And she had to call, she was just freaked out. freaked out. Like, how do I get back into the house? She got a neighbour to call the fire brigade. The fire brigade sent their smallest man, and he climbed in through this tiny little window and went open the door. They were brilliant, but she was so riddled with guilt about that. Like, the, you know, what, you know, and she's a catastrophizer. So what if the toaster had caught fire or something? What would I have done? I was like, don't worry, you would have been fine. We would have worked it out. You would have worked it out. I wasn't there. But she told that to her NCT group, and then one of them just, our NCT group rather, and one of them said, oh, I left so-and-so unattended like 3 months, and he fell off and he hit his head, just fell off the bed and hit his head. Like, which is the most common thing that happens to babies all the time. Common thing for like hospitalisation is kids just fall off the bed.
Yeah.
Like that. And that made her feel better.
Yeah.
You know, because she hated that kid. No. because, you know, whatever you've done, I mean, due to a mix-up, I had to go outside once, outside the front door, and something was happening to the kids, and like, basically what happened is that Emerson was walking towards the front door at a very young age, and Chloe was basically saying, you haven't shut the front door properly.
Yeah.
Come back and shut the front door. I just heard from outside, come back now. I thought one of the kids has been stabbed, he's on fire, something like that. So as Emerson is walking towards the front door, I am racing back from outside towards the front door.
Yeah.
I open the front door as I'm steaming through that to rescue my kid, and I open a hard wooden front door into the face of my child.
And he's fine.
He's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, smelling salts. It must have caught him in such a way. It could have killed him.
Yeah.
There's so many times it could have died.
Yeah.
And it's just, that was, it's horrific. But those things happen. So the only advice I would give is give yourself a break. It's, you are going to nearly kill them a few times. But the odds are that you probably won't.
So much to Sam Pamphilon for coming in to talk to me. I kept quiet at the end there when he was talking about things that can happen to, you know, kids can fall off the bed. My daughter fell off a changing table that was pretty much chest height when she was about 3 months old. And I still, when she does weird things, think, oh, I wonder if that was the fall. Because I have to say, I didn't take her to hospital. She seemed fine. Anyway, time will tell. And Sadie, if you're listening to this in 20 years' time, I'm really sorry. And I still love you. I still love you. I mean, of course I love you. It's not like I still love you, even though I let you fall off her. Anyway, whatever. We'll talk about it. It'll be fine. Next time, I'll be talking to the incredibly talented Alice Lowe, star of and co-creator of the film Sightseers. She appeared on Garth Marenghi and has pretty much been in every comedy kind of ever. Not ever, obviously. I've said this before, haven't I? At some point, I feel. Anyway, she's brilliant. I've given her a big build-up because she deserves it and she's great. So tune in, listen to that. That'll be out in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, enjoy yourselves, and I'll catch you later.
Bye-bye.